Are you struggling to be joyful in this season? Hi, I'm your host, Misty Phillip, the author of The Struggle is Real, But So is God Bible Study, and the host of the By His Grace podcast. Today, we are going to talk about the struggle of fighting for joy. Joy is more than a feeling. Joy transcends our feelings, and in Jesus, we can have true joy. I'm going to read to you from Zephaniah chapter 3 in the King James Version. In verse 17, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." And I don't know about you, friend, but that brings me so much comfort to know that I can rest in a sovereign God. No matter when I see the world around me falling apart, I know that in Jesus, there is rest. And not only that, but that he sings over me with joy. So friends, I encourage you to listen in as I interview Susie Eller, talk about her new book, The Joy Keeper, and how we can fight for joy, even in the midst of hard times. Hey, friends. Thanks so much for joining me here on the By His Grace podcast. I am super excited today to bring my friend Susie Eller onto the show. I met Susie initially through She Speaks. I remember the first time I went to She Speaks, I saw her walking down the hall and people were like, "There's Susie Eller." And then I had the chance to read some of her books and hear her speak. And now I am so excited because she has written a new book called Joy Keeper. Susie is an author and a speaker and a podcast host and a wife and a mama and a grandmama. And we are going to just talk about all the things that have to do with joy today and the struggles that we face that try to rob us of our joy. So Susie, welcome to the By His Grace podcast.
Oh, Misty, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I was reading your book yesterday and I got to the point in the book that talks about you with your grandchildren. And I'm like, did she name her car after me?
Well, for those who are listening, I have a car that my grandkids think is real. And not just a real car, but like real person. And sometimes I don't want to go get ice cream, but Misty does. And so they love her a lot.
That was just really fun that you just have this fun, silly side with your grandchildren. And but today we're going to get into happiness is one thing and silliness is one thing, but having joy is a totally different thing. And I love the way that you talk about the things that try to steal our joy in this book. So I'm going to ask you maybe a hard question. What is the one lie that maybe you have believed or struggled with, or what are some of the things that have tried to steal your joy?
Yeah, so I want to start with the precept, which is kind of the biggest lie, is that joy is only a feeling, that it's just merely a feeling. And so what happens, Misty, is let's say that we have a day when we're sad, or a day when we're angry, or a day when we're confused or frustrated. Sometimes what we do in those moments is either somebody else will place condemnation on us because we're not happy or joy-filled. And what we need to understand is that joy is more than a feeling. Joy is a knowing, because there are going to be days that we are sad, and there are going to be days that we are confused or frustrated or cynical or trying to figure things out. And that doesn't make us any less lovable to God. That doesn't make us any less faith-filled, because God not only cares about how we feel, he created us to feel. And so that That would be the biggest joy stealer. And this is what I found. I wrote this in a book. I wrote this book in a year called Scarred, turned in my manuscript, and then walked through another year that made Scarred look like nothing. And this is what I found is that those feelings that I have, I have a safe place to go with those. And not only that, those feelings are indicators of where I need God to fight with me and in me and through me the most. So if I push them down or mask them or pretend they're not there, they're going to show up later down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. As I was reading it, I thought about, you know, I lost a baby to trisomy 18, and I thought I was being very strong and very stoic. And I remember some of my friends praying for me, and I think they saw this facade. I actually was in a peace bubble, and I was actually able to minister to other people through the process. But I don't know that I was completely real with God, with my feelings. And I think that that's one of the things that you were talking about is he knows already. He knows, right? So for us to pretend like that didn't hurt or that it's uncomfortable or whatever the thing is, it doesn't make much sense, does it?
No, because when you're honest with God, you're not only giving yourself permission to feel, you're giving yourself permission to heal. And that's key. You know, it's bringing it to the light and saying, Lord, and I've done a lot of this in the last year and a half. Lord, I don't totally understand what's going on right now, but this is what I know. Yeah. You know, I feel sad. I feel confused. But what I know is I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know who's in this with me. I know that somehow down the road, I don't totally understand how or why or what, but somehow, Lord, there's going to be redemption to this because I'm walking with you through it, you know? And when we're doing that, we're not trying to live for Jesus. We're trying to live with him. And there's a really distinctive difference there. And so that's confronting those joy stealers that says that if we are sad that somehow God is disappointed with us, that's not only a joy stealer, it's a lie, you know? And it's confronting that with the truth that says, God not only cares about how I feel, but he created me to feel because he's going to walk through me with this. And on the other side of this, through this place of sorrow, through this place of hardship, is joy is going to be birthed simply because I walk with him, I'm known by him, and that is what happens when we follow Jesus.
Yeah. So you briefly touched on something that I read in the book about he loves me not. And as good Christian girls, sometimes, you know, we don't take all of our thoughts and feelings to God because we think, you know, if he really knew, you know, maybe he wouldn't love me, or he does love me, but now I've disappointed him. And it's like this big God in the sky that has this checklist. Oh, she didn't do this. You know, can you speak to that a little bit?
I can. Yeah. Again, you just listed a couple of joy stealers, and a joy stealer is simply something that stands as an obstacle between us and freedom, us and joy, us and what we know to be true. And so the truth to meet that is that God knows who we are becoming. He knows the giftings he's placed inside of us. He knows our story. He knows our background. He knows our experience. He also knows what we don't even know yet. He knows where he is taking us. And so there's just this vicious cycle that happens when we get into the you love me, you don't love me game. You know, he loves me not. And what we do is we're in a consistent cycle to try to earn our way to God's love. And so I would meet that with this truth, is stop making yourself lovable to a God who already loves you like crazy. Stop trying to do that. Instead, come to him right where you're at. And I look all through scripture, and this is what I see. Jesus was are example of this in such profound ways. I see Jesus kneeling with someone while everybody else is poised to throw rocks at her, and he stands between her and the rocks of condemnation. Well, he does the same for ourselves. How many times are we standing poised with a rock of condemnation ready to throw at our own heart? And we were thinking, okay, yesterday God loved me because I was good or I did this, but today God can't possibly love me. Well, listen, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And that's the end of the story. That is the end of the story. Is there work to be done in your life? Certainly. We are works in progress from the time that we are born until the time that we enter eternity. Are there new things to learn about yourself? Are there new things to grow inside of you? New adventures ahead? Absolutely. But if you want to live a life that is stuck, play the he loves me not game. Because when we're freed to say, God, you not only know who I am becoming, but right now I'm going to exchange condemnation for connection with you. Because condemnation keeps me stuck. Connection with you leads me into all those other areas where you already know who I am becoming.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think of the verse that he who began a good work in me, he is faithful to complete it. He is faithful.
Yes, we're not do-it-yourself projects. That's the thing. You know, we're not a DIY project sitting out on the curb. We're not. We are someone who, he calls us in scripture a masterpiece, and that sounds lofty and even egotistical. But when I look at it through the eyes of Lord, man, you're the potter, I'm the clay. And instead of playing this road to nowhere game in my head, what if I exchange this condemnation for connection to you? Where will you take me? What will you show me? What will you do in me and through me? And it is a complete shift, a flip. And there's one question that I share that we should ask when we're feeling this way. Instead of asking the question, you know, do I measure up today? Let's flip that question to what measure of Jesus do I need today? Because that changes the conversation.
Yeah, because all of us are frailed. We're all flawed. We're all sinners. And sin is sin to God, right? I mean, it's not like this sin is worse than this sin. It's all sin. He's holy and righteous and just. But I think about David, a man after God's own heart, right? He was a train wreck, right? But what did he do? He came to God and he bore his soul. And I think that's what your book is about. It is bringing all the junk, the pain, the shame, the whatever, and because God knows anyway.
He does. And, you know, Misty, I want to make a point here. What I have found is most of the time it's not even sin that we're talking about. It's a mean girl in your head. It is somebody who picks apart everything that you do, who sets standards so high. One joy stealer, major joy stealer, is to set expectations for yourself that are higher than what God expects. And I met that over and over again. And I would hear women just beating themselves up and they would say, oh, but I failed here. And I would look at these amazing faith-filled women and say, did you see that act of faith that you just, I mean, can you see the way I see you? Can you see yourself the way God sees you? And so it's literally meeting that inner critic who can be a bully with truth.
Yeah, that really resonated with me because I am an Enneagram 1. And you know, we have very high standards.
Mm-hmm. Which is your strength.
Right, which is great. Mm-hmm. But we can also beat ourselves up if we don't do things, you know, perfect or to a standard that we think is perfect. And the problem with that is it steals so much joy.
It does.
I was recently going through something and overwhelmed and stressed by all that God had given me to do. And my husband's like, God has blessed you with all of these amazing things that you get to do. And look at how you are complaining because He's given you this work. And so, you know, I think that's a really good spiritual check. You know, God does love us and has created us for amazing good works. We are His masterpiece. So why would we tear ourselves down in the process?
And it's not helpful, you know, but this is, and I'm glad you brought up the Enneagram One. One of my closest friends is Holly Groth. She is also an Enneagram One. And so we've had these conversations where we have freedom between us as friends for her to say to me, Susie, and this is from Brené Brown, but the story I'm telling myself in my head is this. And she'll share it. And we do a podcast together, she and Jennifer and I. And Jennifer and I will just look at her and say, oh my goodness, where did that come from? You know, that's not. And she'll say, by putting it out there, by sharing it with those who love her best, and them looking at her and saying, we love you like crazy. And right now, that is just, you're bullying yourself. And I think it's just powerful on her part to be able to acknowledge, this is how God has wired me. It's my greatest strength. She is amazing. Like, she is one of the most awesome human beings I know. And this is her strength. But it also can be a bully. And so knowing that, confronting that, moving from what you feel, this is what I feel, this is what my brain is telling me, this is what my bully is telling me, to what you know and what others who love you know about you, again, is absolutely freeing.
Yeah. I have a friend that has a podcast, and she said, this is what I think, but what's the truth? Like, this is what it's being told to me, but what's the truth? So I think it's a continual taking our thoughts captive and saying, okay, this is how I might feel. I may feel this way, but is that what God thinks about me?
Right. Yeah. My feelings matter to God. How I feel right now matters to God. So isn't it the safest place in the world to bring it to the one who knows me best and say, this is the way I feel. Like my friend did with me. This is how I feel, Lord. And we have pause points. I don't know if you noticed that through the book, but all throughout the book, there are these pause points where you can stop and interact with the Lord and literally tell Him, Lord, this is how I feel right now. This is what's going on in my head right now. And I want to move from what I feel to the truth of what I know. Well, I invite you into that process. And it sometimes that's what we do in our everyday life, is we just need to pause and take a step back and ask that question, Lord, is this you? Yeah. Or is this my inner critic?
Yeah, that's so good. You know, especially right now, we're just living in just such a crazy, crazy, crazy time. We have lots of thoughts and feelings and emotions, and there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, just think about the mamas who are preparing to go back to school. Like, are my kids going to go to school? Am I going to homeschool? Can I do this? Like, there's a lot of confusion. And so I love that you, have created space within the book for them to just really get in check with their feelings and their thoughts, and to take it to the Lord. Because sometimes in our normal life, we can be so busy that we just kind of go from thing to thing to thing without really doing that check, like listening to our feelings.
Yeah. Well, and I really believe this. I believe the more that we know and are known by Jesus, the more we know about ourselves. And so there's grace that can come in. I share a story in one of the chapters where I was holding a toddler. It was at a Christmas event. The toddler was just tired and stressed and done, just done. And so this child had a fork and tried to stab me in the eye with it. And I had somebody that looked at me in that moment and said, what are you doing to that child? And, you know, in that moment, like, we've all been there in that public moment where nothing's going right. And all of a sudden I realized I was just as stressed out as the toddler and that something very insignificant was about to take significant bandwidth in my heart. And so I had to take a step back and know myself and say, number one, I am a semi-introvert. This is day number 4 of people and good things. But I haven't had alone time in days. And the way that God wired me, if I can take 10 minutes away and just be alone, it would be a good thing in this moment. You know, instead of it being about her, because she was just teasing, she honestly was just being lighthearted.
Right.
It just landed in a tender place at the wrong time. The child wasn't the problem. He was just as overstimulated and tired. He's a kid and doesn't know what to do about it. And then, but I know me. And then so instead of being condemning to myself, saying, hey, God, you know what? Right now, I just need to get alone. And I'm not going to use this to say, oh, what a screw up I am. Instead, I'm going to get alone with the Lord and say, oh, Lord, you made me to require quiet and to fill up. And I'm going to make room for that. I'm going to invite you in there with me. And then I fill up. So I know myself. And that's really key when confronting those, again, those joy stealers that try to tell you that, well, you shouldn't have been upset at that. That was not a big deal.
I love that you said that the more that we're with, and say that again, the more that we're with Jesus, the more that we know him,
the more that we're known by him, because that comes in that relationship.
Yeah.
The more we know ourselves. We really do.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful, Susie. Well, you are launching this book in the middle of a global pandemic, which is going to be, but we all need joy and we all need to.
I'm launching Misty while I'm going through treatment for breast cancer. I'm launching it months after my husband had a massive heart attack, and he's a runner, and I have never walked through such a difficult place, and yet these truths are holding me close. So yes, I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, this seems like a crazy time to launch a book.
I love that as authors that God has to write the story in us, sure, and we have to live through, sure, all of that. But I think that there is not a better time for there to be a book about joy. And so give us the title of the book with the subtitle.
I will. It is Joy Keeper, 6 Truths That Change Everything You Thought You Knew About Joy. And Misty, the early church, they were marked by joy. They were in persecution. They were in unfamiliar situations. And yet the world looked in on them and said, man, they have something, and I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, we want it. And I feel God calling us as a nation and as women to that same place, to where we live in such a way, a life marked by joy, that people on the outside look in and say, I don't know what she has, but whatever it is, my goodness, I want it too.
That's beautiful. Well, Susie, you are a treasure, and I am so grateful for our time today. So when does the book launch so that people know when it's available?
Okay, the book is available for pre-order now. It launches on August 4th, and you can find everything that you need to know about the book, as well as some really free goodies, like a Joy Keeper Bible journaling kit at joykeeper.me.
That's great. Well, Susie, thank you so much for your time today, and blessings on you and your husband and your family in this book as it flies into the world.
Thank you, Misty.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.